ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
All right, so today we're going to be looking at, or the topic of my sermon today is, titled True Gold. Say True Gold. Come on, say True Gold. My sermon for today is titled True Gold. And there are some keywords you're going to be looking at me using through the scripture. You'll be looking at me using words like contentment, covetousness, things like that. But let's go to God's word first. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 16 from verse 11. Gigi, don't put it on the screen. Please open your Bible. Oh, please put up the Nicene Creed. Gigi, do you have it? Ayo, what happened? Luke chapter 16, please open your Bible. Is your Bible open? Luke, you said yes, and it's not open. And you want to make heaven by works. Luke 16, 11. Are you there?
Yes,
read like a mass choir. One, two, go. Different versions. Let me read from KJV. Please look into your Bible. If therefore ye have not been, you know what, let me even, Gigi, I said, don't put it up. Let me read from verse 10. It said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? Much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in what? Much. Verse 11, it said, if therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Verse 12 now says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your what? Your own. Let me explain verse 11 before we go into verse 13. You see, Jesus is saying here that if you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, question, what is he calling unrighteous mammon? Thank you. This side, the choir, you are doing well. He said, if you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, you know, consistently, it seems like Jesus speaks about money in that kind of way. You know, he speaks little on it, right? He says, if you're not faithful with unrighteous mammon, then who will commit to you true? This speaker is echoing. Who will commit, I was giving static, who will commit to you true riches? It is a style of teaching of Jesus and the apostles to contrast or to put side by side physical wealth with eternal wealth. Come on, are you with me? And we see that in 1 Timothy 6 from verse 17, which we'll read later. He contrasts physical wealth with eternal wealth. So Jesus said, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you what? True riches. It means that true riches is not unrighteous mammon. Come on, is that true? It means true riches is not unrighteous mammon. So when Jesus said, if you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will commit unto you true riches? Whenever someone reads it like that and thinks that, you know, if I'm faithful with my money, God will make me rich. You are not reading it well. Come on, are you with me? Because true riches is not unrighteous mammon. Come on, am I making sense? Because true riches is not what? But look at what Jesus said. So what exactly was Jesus giving us? Tips and tricks, styles, lessons on how to enter some dangerous level of true wealth. Look at what he said. You go to verse 12. He says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? But look at verse 13. Which is the combination of everything he has said. He said, no servant can serve. Come on, are you here, TC? No servant can do what? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise who? He says, you cannot serve who? God and mammon. Look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus starts the idea by talking about faithfulness. Then he says, you cannot hold on to unrighteous wealth or be unfaithful with unrighteous wealth and want to grab onto true riches. I.e., Jesus is saying, you cannot hold money the way men hold money and want to grapple onto eternal wealth. The way Paul teaches this is by saying, tell them who are rich in this world not to trust in uncertain riches. What Paul calls uncertain riches is what Jesus calls unrighteous mammon. Come on, are you with me? Then when he said be, Paul in the same verse now says, but tell them to be rich towards God. Being rich towards God is what Jesus called what? True riches. You guys are following. Are you with me? You are ready for anastasis. I like the way you are responding back to me. Hallelujah. Let me just say, someone is coming from Canada for anastasis. You that you are Lester. Lester. And other surrounding cities. Please, he's coming Saturday and Sunday. I want to see you here on Saturday. Amen. Yes. Not your neighbor, a little bit. Say, will you be here? Will you be here? Will you be here? Amen. He says, so Jesus talking about that now goes on to say, if you are not faithful in another man's own, who will you be faithful in? Who will give you your own to be faithful in? So Jesus starts the lesson by teaching on faithfulness-ish. Then he now goes on to say, you know, imagine I make a tweet like this, or I make an IG post, and I say, I'm not shading anybody, I'm just giving an instance. I say, you will not upload the personal and private times with your significant other. By significant other, I mean what? Wife or husband, not girlfriend. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I like the way you are responding. You will not upload the special times with your significant other. This tweet is not about your significant other. Doc has gotten it. Usually, basically what I mean, or I'll put it like this, to Christian influencers, you will not upload intimate times with your significant other. This tweet is not about your significant other. What am I talking about? Those that upload prayer. Those that, you know, you say, when I want to do my secret time, I first close the windows, then I on candles, then you set a phone, then you pray 1 full hour. But you are not leading people in prayer. It's only you and God and your followers. Amen. But anyways, that thing I just did, when I say this has nothing to do with prayer, you know, I started saying something. Then by the end, you should have gotten what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus did here. He starts talking of faithfulness. I can't hear myself again. Can you guys hear me well? Yes, sir. He starts talking about faithfulness, then switches the context to let you know this has nothing to do with faithfulness. This has everything to do with comparison with your relationship of money and God. Nobody can serve two masters. Either he will love one or hate the other. But you know, there is something that even got me intrigued about this verse, verse 13 specifically. Remember, we've talked about this when the Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, right? It's the same way Jesus said that, if anyone is going to follow me, let him hate his father and his mother. The word hate there, especially as the way the Jews used it, it did not mean utmost detest. It meant you must little esteem that other person compared to this other person, or that other thing compared to this other thing. So Jesus is saying that the love you must have for me, when compared to the love you have with your family members, it could be said to be hatred. Because the one who told you to honor your father and mother cannot tell you to hate them. Come on, are you with me? Yes, sir. So that's the idea. So, and that's exactly what got to me in this verse 13. He said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. The interesting thing about this is you can actually have, let both of them have a place in your life, money and God. Are you with me? Both of them cannot both be masters. You will despise one and have the other, but both of them will be growing side by side in terms of you can little esteem God and highly esteem money, but both of them are there. That's the scary thing. Because you need money to live. You need money to pay your bills. You need money to do those things. But you will have both of them side by side, little esteem God, highly esteem money, and think that God has still has his high place in your heart. Come on, are you with me? Anyways, these are thoughts. But this is what Jesus is saying. He said, who will commit to you true riches? And this is exactly where we get the text from. True gold. True gold. I started off by saying something last week. You know, the Bible says, or did I say the Bible said? A thought I ended with last week was, scriptures have profit when used properly. Scriptures have profit. 2 Timothy 3:16. Right? 2 Timothy 3:16. Open your Bible. Don't put it on the screen. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Reproof, doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Jesus is saying, where you find profit as pertaining to scripture is when scriptures are used in this particular kind of way. If you use scriptures outside this particular kind of way, you will not get profit. Scriptures will not be what? Profitable to you. Come on, TC, are you with me? Scriptures will not be what? Profitable to you. You know, I think I find it very interesting that the apostles say that we will not but give ourselves to the what? Ministry of the word and prayer. Because the church is not a multi-purpose gathering. Come on, TC, are you here? The church is not a multi-purpose gathering. The pulpit is not where you come to learn. It's not where people should come to so that they can hear life skills. Please, are you with me? It's not a multi-purpose gathering. It's not where you can come fundamentally so you can learn life skills. They said we will not but give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. But I have found out a lot of people like pastors that serve tables rather than giving themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. What do I mean by that? I saw a tweet this week, and it read 2 weeks ago, so he blessed me. The man of God said something very important. He said, the difference between disciples and just members is disciples are actually interested in doctrine. Some people cannot stand a teaching that does not apply to them. So if I'm teaching, every sermon must have a depth of application. And that's not how to read your Bible. That's not how to read. You must go through scriptures. I remember David and TJ hosted them this week, and I was telling David, and TJ corroborated. You see, we should be able to read the Bible, 1 Corinthians 1, and just be reading verse by verse, and it should bless you. 1 Corinthians 2, we just read, because that's actually what they did. Paul wrote letters to this church, and somebody will hold the letters and read. And when they are done, if you read in Colossians, I think, Paul says, exchange this letter with the church at Laodicea. Come on, are you with me? He says, exchange this letter with the church at Laodicea. So, you know, there are some things that apply to you, but there are some things that don't. Yeah. Mary, a virgin conceived, how does he apply to you? Purely. Please, those online, ignore everything. Because, like I said last week, see, and it's important I'm saying this because, again, the church is not a multi-purpose gathering. We're not just gathering to say anything that sounds good. The apostles, Paul said, I sought not to know anything except Christ and him crucified. Christ and him crucified. What that means is, my job is not to climb the pulpit and be teaching you tips and tricks of leadership. Am I talking? I shouldn't stand and say 5 Sundays of emotional intelligence. I'm not John Maxwell. I'm not John Maxwell. I remember Adeshola Spiritual Father has a pastor in a church in London. Right? There's a spark to his ministry. Anyways, the man of God said, you see, that guy, I think he's a popular motivational speaker. In fact, he's not a motivation, he's a thief. Thank God I didn't call anybody's name. You can't sue me. I didn't call anybody's name. So, Shola's daddy. If you look through his Instagram, Jesus is not there. But he's a pastor. The church, when you look through the church, they wear ski masks. Not everybody, but you know, they wear ski masks. They do trap. They have a trap group. Trap is like kind of music. Kyrell's generation kind of music. You know. They do trap music. You know, the pastors, their this thing is Lamborghini, you know, Rolls Royce, different things. So I saw his daddy. He had this, you know, I watched one of his videos and he said something that I'm sure blessed Shola. He said, you know, today, he came down from the car, I think it was a Ferrari, and he said, today I'm going to be teaching on national transformation and leadership. And in my head, I say, what verse of scripture will you start from? Rightly exegeted, though. In the beginning. Which one will you start from? Because like I said, see, a man of God also said something. It should be a problem, ladies and gentlemen, it should be a problem when unbelievers like a preacher's sermon all the time and they are not convicted. They like everything he has to say. Yeah. They like it. They're like, the man has a way with words. Are you an orator? He said he has a way with words. Listen, and I'm not saying be unnecessarily offensive with the truth, okay? That's absolutely not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is present the truth of God's word the way it was handed to us. So if all the sermons are about what is applicable, what you like, unbelievers are consistently listening to a preacher without growing in their knowledge of God, growing in their love of God, or even believers growing in their fear of God, it is a problem. I remember somebody tweeted that somebody now responded and said, you see, of course, the go-to is always Jesus chilled with sinners. Don't worry. He said that. Then he said that that's how they will come. He said, when we have said every other thing except Jesus, they will come to him now. Because like I said, see, we must not change the message to make it more appealing to the world. Please, are you with me? Yes, sir. We must not change the message to make it more appealing. We must just preach the truth of God's word as it is. As it is. Come on, TC, are you here? Yes, sir. So, like I said last week, I find it problematic, like I said, when a church, your biggest, now it's different if you are doing it as another, as a personal brand, as another, and maybe as PNI now, I have a personal business that trains in other aspects of your life. That's different. But it's different when as a church, your biggest conference every year is about leadership. Jesus did not send us. There's no place leadership falls into Matthew 28. The Great Commission doesn't fall in. Are you offended? That's okay. There's nowhere that that falls in. To raise marketplace leaders, there's nowhere that, because the truth is, those marketplace leaders, after they finish leading, they must still preach the gospel. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Must still preach the gospel. So, I remember someone said something, and I'm putting this so that we know why we are doing what we are doing. Someone said something. He said, I heard a pastor speaking, and he said, he was saying that how he was just talking about the state of the country and stuff, and back in my home country, and then his dad was actually complaining and asking me a question about something, and he was like, oh, I didn't know that this happened. His dad now said, you don't know? So you guys don't discuss this in your church? Then what are people preaching there? And I'm like, did you elect us into power? What aspect of what Jesus sent us to do was to change the nation and affect policies? When I say affect policies, I mean make policies for the nation. That's not what Jesus sent us to do. Because even if we do all the policies and don't fulfill the work of ministry, we failed.
Yes, sir.
Again, career at the very best can be a springboard, but your career is not ministry. See, we can have special meetings where we bring people that can tell you how to tailor your CV, how to navigate things. Those are special meetings. But you best believe it won't be a Sunday morning. It won't be. And then there are many churches. And the annoying part is, you know, when we do all these secular events under the church umbrella, we now invite people that work with addiction. Are you getting what I'm saying? We invite popular comedians, people that don't care about your Jesus, right, to come and tell us how. Daniel, you see, Daniel said scammers. He's in the business forever. Anyways, people that don't care about your Jesus to come and teach us. That's where they will now quote scriptures and put it out of context. That's not why we're here. Amen. Again, like I said, it's different if it's another arm. But as far as it's church, let's be serious. Again, it's not a multi-purpose gathering. The reason we are here, I was telling someone yesterday, and I said, being a pastor is a very sensitive role because everything you teach affects people's eternal destiny. Even if they are saved, if you teach them wrong, it may affect the kind of reward, the quality of reward they will have before God. Come on, are you with me? Because if you teach wrong, it can affect even the quality of reward that they have before God. Say amen.
Amen.
So, anyways, maybe I'll talk on that more later. Let me just land on two things. Listen, and a lot of people believe this thing so wrongly that we think that every sermon is a good sermon. Or everything everybody says about a verse of scripture is true depending on the perspective of the man of God. It is the way the Spirit inspired him. The Spirit cannot inspire a truth of scripture outside the concept, the context of that verse of scripture. You look at the verses that we went through last week, right? Nobody can bring up those verses and say, about this verse, I know this is what it says, but the Spirit told me that. The same one that is not the author of confusion. He cannot inspire someone to say something and inspire it to mean something else to another one. He cannot. So what exactly are the purpose of Scripture? The purpose of Scripture, like we did in Sketches and Fullness and, you know, all the, what's the name of that sermon that we did again? Pointing that Scripture speak about Christ. The Bible is a Christocentric book. When you go through those series, you find out that the Bible points us to Christ. That's what it does. And from a child, 2 Timothy 3, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. When he talks about scriptures, he's talking of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. That's what he read. That's what Timothy studied. And it made him wise in the matters of salvation. I said that to say this. The Bible is not about the Bible is not about the Bible does not teach you how to make money. The Bible teaches you what to do with your money. I've heard people say things like, the Bible, any question you have is in the Bible. If you want to know why the UK exists, just check the Bible. I remember someone said, my home country, Nigeria, said, I know why Nigeria was independent in 1960. I saw it in the book of Isaiah. I said, oh.
It's not the prophetical. That's prophet lying. Suddenly.
I say it's not there. He said, I saw it. Anything you want, even to help your business, is in the Bible. It's not. If you want to, can the Lord lead you in business and all those things? Yes. But if you are serious about making the most in your business, you will go and take business courses. You will go and read books. I have, if I come and I say, business secrets, and the person that is teaching you is a full-time pastor that has never done business before. Why are we joking? The reason I'm saying this is because there are many things that we do that make us look like a joke. Makes us look unserious. Like everything we've believed is a lie. Praise the Lord. So the Bible does not teach you how to make money. The Bible teaches what to do. Check through Jesus, check through the apostles. And again, God is not even against anybody being rich. If you want to be rich, be fine. Work hard. You know, trust the Lord for favor and all those things. Do what you want to do. As far as you don't think that riches is part of the package in the gospel. And I've heard a lot of people say things like, you know, there's the word sozo, which is the word for save. The word sozo, in some places, it means health. In some places, in that word can mean seven different things. What does it mean in the context? There is no part of the gospel that promises you stupendous wealth. And I'm not saying this thing to you because it's sweet. Don't you think I ought to be rich too? Praise God. Amen. So, if I say I want to teach you how to make money from the Bible, I've not taught you how to profit from it. Or I've not taught you in a way that it will be profitable to you. Because if you are not instructed in righteousness, if you are not, you know, everything that is in 2 Timothy 3:16, I've not edified, I've cheated you. I've cheated you. Say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say amen. Praise God. All right. Where did this other thing appear to? Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Are you there? Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Gigi, you can put this one up now. But open your Bible. Open your Bible. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. I want you to read this on the board like a mass choir. Read it 1, 2, go. Listen, let me say that again. Your life, we've read this many times, but your life does not, if you see yourself as less because you have less, something is wrong with your lens. You are not seeing well. And then if you see yourself as more, because you have more, something is wrong with your lens.
So when you find people that, because they are wealthy, so for example, let's say, I've used Shola too much. Anita now, for example. Anita gets a gig, sorry? Anita gets a gig that, you know, she starts earning 10K as a rough estimate monthly. So she's coming to church, and after a while, we don't now see content anymore. We now say, Anita, what's going on? She says, Pina, you see, I'm a little bit stressed. I can't just be carrying phone around, right? It affects my nails. My nails are really expensive. It affects my nails. That is an example of someone whose life is measured by how much they have. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
When, you see, there's a video I saw of Cosmos Maduka. Cosmos Maduka is one of the richest men in Nigeria, right? He owns Koscharis Motors. He loves the Lord. He's a believer. He loves the Lord. I saw a video of him preaching on the road with a megaphone, a billionaire. He rolled his white sleeves and was preaching. Sadly, after he pastors a church on Sunday evening in his house. The week his wife died, he still had service on Sunday. A billionaire. Do you know one thing I realized? Is poor people that hold money to their chest. The ones that are truly rich, they don't care. Is poor people that want to wear Puma on their forehead. Temu. Is poor people. Is poor people. And that's the thing. Luxury brands are actually designed for people that like name brands, which is usually the middle class, because they strive to have money and buy it, to have a taste of luxury. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Listen. Another example of how this thing plays out for people is you find people who, I'm going to talk about this next week. Sin is not necessarily, I can't remember who said this, but sin is not necessarily wanting bad things, but sometimes sin is wanting good things badly. Wanting good things badly. So sometimes it may not just be, it's not. Sometimes it may not just be, and I'll talk more about this next week, abasing. Some people know how to abase, they can't abound. That's where we hear his voice. Abound, that's where we hear his voice. Like prosperity gospel. They know how, so if I'm telling you, and it's easy to lift people in your eyes because of that thing. If I give you a gift now, you say, who am I? What do you mean, who am I? Take the gift and go and sit down, please. Who am I that you are giving this to me? Some people can revel in being broke as if it's a sign of the age to come. They can revel in it. The Bible, God does not care about your wealth. God just wants you to be faithful in all seasons. That's all. Let me say something. Are we aware, which even may bring me back to something, are we aware that this confession of faith that we may have, are you ready? I'll never be broke a day in my life. You know it's not biblical. Are you ready? Except Paul did not have enough faith. Because Paul said, I know how to abase. There are seasons you will have some. There are seasons you will have a lot. There are seasons you will not have. Some point in your heart, you are saying, God forbid, I will always have. Better listen to me. The reason is because we don't have good teachings, so people are not ready for tough times. You're not saying, God, but I give my tithe. Why are things tight? You are not serious. Better wake up. Better wake up. Lord, I thought by now I'll be driving a Lexus. Why am I still trekking? You get it? You got it? Better be serious. Because we've only learned God that has to serve us. Anyways, I'll talk more about it. Covetousness basically is an insatiable desire for wealth. And like I said, a lot of people were content until they came to church. So I'm telling you, you can make it. You can do more. You will get there. Where? More what? You are using a bank, but it's your age mate that is the owner of the bank. You're like, oh, you're a good pastor. He's probably your junior too. He said you can get there. Because the truth is, listen, those things may sound innocent, but you'll be amazed what it is stirring in your heart. Even the popular kind of motivation we can have is unhealthy for us. Is unhealthy for us. The person that got first, does he have two heads? This person is your classmate. So when those things have so eaten deep into us that you go online and you see other people's lives and you now think you are failing. Who told you you are? Or we just say, I'm being delayed. Are you the one holding time? How do you know what delay is? Come on, are you with me? How do you know? He said, by now, I should have been doing this. According to whose plan? Listen, I'm not saying don't have ambitions. I'm saying, which we'll get into more. We'll look at more scriptures. I'm saying, find joy in God. That's the first thing. If you find joy in things, you know what the book of Proverbs, of Job says? It says, money has wings. It can fly away. Someone tweeted something. She said, you people think I spend a lot of time on Twitter. It's not true. Okay. You know, because recently a popular minstrel that said there's no glory in this world found glory where? In this world. So he said, somebody said, apparently they've been married since like January. She said, look at this guy, Theophilus. He said he married up. If you like, don't scale up. A believer should not think like that. That's the first thing. He said, if you like, see, if you want to scale up, scale up. Don't scale up at the expense of another person. Don't scale up at the expense of another person. If you want to do better, do better. Don't do better because it will help you feel like I'm not failing in life. Because the truth of the matter is this. Some people will always step into rest faster than other people in life. And you better just enjoy your life and move on. There are sacrifices. Listen, if you want to follow God, it will cost you. We've talked about that. Be spurred onto good works, not against somebody else. Don't subconsciously be ticking boxes in your head because of somebody else. Because like we've talked about Ecclesiastes a lot, life doesn't satisfy. Anyways, First Thessalonians 2:5. Then 2 Peter 2:3. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. Jesus warned in Luke 12:15, he said, your life does not consist in the abundance of things that you possess. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. Gigi, let's go. Give me KJV, quick, please. Then prepare 2 Peter 2:5. He said, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of what? Of covetousness. God is witness. Listen. put up 2 Peter 2:3, like I said. Is it 2:3 I said? Yes, 2:3. 2:3. Listen, why that verse is important. Let's read this one. And through covetousness shall they, talking of false teachers, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He said, through covetousness, with feigned words, they make what? Merchandise of you. Let me tell you how. If you want my grace to work for you, you need to sow into it. Are you here? if you want the covering of the house to touch you, come and touch my feet now with £100. Just 100. Let the grace pounce on you. Come and sow it now. I heard someone say something. Listen, and if from this you are hearing, that means we should stop giving in church. It's your idol that is speaking to you in your heart. You've not heard me. Because we're still going to talk more about all these things. How is the biblical way to give? We'll go on that. But look at what it says. I heard someone raise an offering. And he said, you're going to give $1,000 for every year you have lived. Feigned words. Cloak of covetousness. Feigned words. See, listen to me. There are meetings you will go to. You will not know how, but before the end, your khaki is on the altar. Because I said the Lord told me now there are 14 people in this house. You are going to give a seed of £500. Wherever you are, rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Right? I say 13, 12, 11. I need 5 more people. Where are you? You stand to your feet. And as, when you now reach, and I say, you know what? The Lord said, because I want you to partake of this, there are other people that will give 250. 250. Come. See, I'm not against fundraising. Listen to me, guys. I'm not against fundraising. If you want to call people to give sacrificially, it's okay. If you say, we have this amount to raise, and because we have this amount to raise, we have so number of people that can give this. In fact, biblically, there's a blessing in giving. Come on, are you with me? We need so amount of people to give this. But when you start promising people what Jesus did not promise them, or because I cannot raise it, I will now call an anointed swindler. I heard, oh God, there are things I can't tell you. I'm a pastor, I can't tell you some things. Somebody told somebody, said, that your tent you are using, if you invite me, your people will drop everything. He said, you will move out of that place. You will complete it. He said, if you invite me, someone invited somebody else. See, when we stand before Jesus, it will be hilarious. I assure you, for some people's own, I will carry chair and sit down. I will carry chair. You know, 2 Peter 2, right? There's something I even want to show you there. 2 Peter 2, 3. The word, feigned words there, is the word plastos. Where we get the word plastic. Fictitious, false. Just imagine a false nose. That's what it is. It's fake words. And the goal of those words is to make merchandise of you. I remember I heard someone say something. He said, if you come and just touch my feet with a particular, I will put my sweat and rub on you. First of all, you. Secondly, why? Why? See, every time I want to ask God's people to give because of something that we want to do, I always first say, I'm not promising you anything. Jesus is not promising you. Because if people will give, they will give. The unhealthy thing about things like this is when we now raise things like this, people are not giving because they love the Lord. And what giving is supposed to do, which is kill greed and covetousness, rather it will amplify it. Because they are not giving sacrificially, they are giving to provoke God. Yeah. He said to make merchandise. And I'm saying this because, anyways, we'll look more. Paul, when Paul says, those that teach you that gain is godliness, from such run away. He said, don't listen to them. Better believe that there are some, if you listen to wrong doctrine long enough, especially when the oratory prowess is dangerous, you will start believing it. It doesn't matter what your conviction may be. If you listen to error wrong enough, long enough, you will start believing it. It will start sounding appealing. Paul said, from such a one, run away. Flee, divorce yourself. For people that are blessed by every preacher, be careful. Be careful. Come on, are you with me? A cloak of it is covetousness disguised as spirituality. That's what it's called. Covetousness. Please, are you here? Mark chapter 7 from verse 20 to 23. Mark chapter 7 from verse 20 to 23. And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed what? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, what? Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Next verse. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Look at where he puts covetousness, an insatiable desire for wealth. This thing is what causes people to dupe other people, kill other people because of money. I watched a video of a guy. The guy is saved now. He said he duped somebody else. The guy called him crying, said, please, it's not my money and everything, on the phone. He said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. On the phone, the person on the other end shot himself. Yes. Covetousness. You know, when the Bible says, he what? Not the one that shot himself. The one that duped. He's saved now. He's saved. Yes. The mercy of God. Hallelujah. Covetousness. Look at the rank. Please listen to me. This thing is important. When it is covetousness, don't mask it as a drive. Don't mask it as a healthy ambition. Covetousness is covetousness. An insatiable desire. When you have no boundaries in your life. When every way is a way. Covetousness. Be careful. Because you cannot serve God and who? Mammon. Covetousness is evil. That's what Jesus calls it. He calls it evil. Evil. Ladies and gentlemen, he called it what? Evil. Romans chapter 1 verse 29. Romans 1, let's read 29 to 32. Then prepare Ephesians 5, 1 to 6. Romans 1, 29 to 32. It said, being filled with all unrighteousness. Look at the rank Jesus, the Bible is placing. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Please obey your parents. In the Lord, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who what? Practice them. Jesus is talking of the characteristics of people who will not find on our side of eternity. People who are covetousness does not walk side by side with the spirit you have received. TC, are you here? Covetousness cannot work. That's insatiable desire for wealth. Because listen, if covetousness will not have a hold on your heart, you must realize that there must be priorities in your life. Some things must mean more than other things. Are you guys tired? Some things must mean more than other things. I've said this many times, that especially if a couple is working in a very busy field, like both of them are working in medicine, especially in this UK, both of you are doctors, both of you, or any other, maybe management consulting, investment banking, both of you, those very high paying, this thing. At some point in raising your child, somebody will have to slow down. If not, you stand the risk of not knowing your child by the time that child is 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians 5, 1 to 6. In the same breath where Jesus mentions that, anyways, look at this. He says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, look at this, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Look at this. Hold on, go back. What Jesus is saying here, or what Paul said here, is there are some things, because of the grace of God, they should be found strange among us. Please, are you with me? It should be strange that believers are fornicating. You know, when we talk about things like this, people are saying, you are judging me. No, this is under grace. He said it should not once be, it should be strange that it is in amongst us. Believers are communicating with lewd jokes. It should be strange. A believer is asking another believer for some dangerous kinds of pictures. It should be strange. I'm not pointing at you, but your conscience is judging you. Should it be strange or not? Uh-huh. He cannot say it with his chest. It should be. I heard a story of in one church where Deacon was asking a teenager, D what? Hallelujah. Was asking a teenager for some pictures. I say in TEC, you will give me that color. You don't need it. Well, I can't even ordain you in the first place. He said, let it not be once measured. So, look, in the same rank with covetousness, is the same rank with what? Fornication. It's the same rank. Fornication, ideally, is worshipping your passions. That's what it's called. Listen, I'm a grace preacher, but I believe in holiness, man, because I believe in the word of God. Sin will destroy you. Yes. Especially in our very hyper-sexualized generation, where it's difficult to be holy. Talk to me. Is it difficult? You know, I remember one time I went on TikTok on my Explore. I was seeing strange images. I said, I beg. Carry your problem and be going. Yes, now. Yes. Because it's not anointing oil that is in my veins. Amen. What covetousness is also is worshipping your passions. He said, let it not be named. It should be strange that a believer is covetous among you as fitting saints. Next verse. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. And some jokes that should not be funny or cracked. Amen. Which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Next verse. For this ye know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater. See, a covetous man is a what? So, a man who is covetous has an engraven image called money he bows down to. He's an idolater. He said, who is an idolater? Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God? Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Listen, when the Bible says God is a jealous God, when the Bible calls him a jealous God, it's because he does not, you know that song, you, Doc, are we ready? You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share your glory with any man. You will never share your glory with anybody. Almighty God, that is your name. You know, when the Lord says he's a jealous God, it means that he wants to even protect you from the things you like that will destroy you. Yeah. So he will not share his place in your life, not even with money. You will never share your glory with anybody. Almighty God, that is your name. Come on, let's sing it two times. You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share your glory with any man. You will never share your glory with anybody. Almighty God, that is your name.
One more time.
That is your Hebrews 13:5. You will never share your glory with anyone. You will never share your glory with anybody. Almighty God, that is your name. Look at this. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content. So, the opposite of covetousness is what? You guys are not speaking out loud. The opposite of covetousness is what? Contentment. It says, come on, you guys are not tired, are you? In TEC, we love the word of God, right? In TEC, we handle the word of God in large chunks, right? It said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, if you are not going to be covetous, you will be content. Contentment does not mean you will not strive for more in your life. That's not what it means. Contentment just simply means that I'm going to be happy with where I am right now. See, many of us may look at the person online and start feeling like, what, you know? Especially if your parents are not, maybe middle class, not really wealthy. When I say wealthy, I mean wealth. Not really wealthy. You now see other people and it's very easy to think, what were my parents doing? Shebi, now your parents. It's very easy to think, why didn't they blow when their mates were blowing? Listen. Doc, please bring it down a bit. It says, and it's very easy to look at them and be thinking of what were they doing with their lives and things like that. First of all, the exposure you have to see those things is because of the sacrifices they made. So you have to honor it. Let's start from there. You have to, please, pull back that verse of scripture. You have to honor it. So I said this in midweek service. It's very easy to look at the five P's of Joseph. Are you getting me now? The what? Pit, the prison, the Potiphar's house, palace and prime minister. You say, look at the growth. My God will lift you. Listen, all Joseph had was a picture. That's all Joseph had. But Joseph knew. Joseph, in everything, every phase of his life, Joseph was, he was diligent. He did all, in this thing, we're going to talk about the believer's work ethic. He was diligent. He served the way he should. He did not, the reason we like that story is because at the end, he blew. He became a big boy. That's it. But in every phase of his life, Joseph was, he was excited doing the most that he can. Many of us could be complaining about where we are, forgetting we prayed about this yesterday. We could be complaining about where we are because we are seeing another person online that probably comes from generations of wealth. Their parents have given them layup. I work with someone who they own 3 gyms. The family owns 3 gyms, 3 care homes, a nursery, and a barber shop. You know, he said they closed the nursery and opened it in a better location. You know, she saw that and she showed me the house at Manchester. My brothers, it's a house. You know, house that has a water body inside and horse. That's an abode. The young boy has a likes boats. So they want to buy him a makeshift yacht. It's people that call it yacht. A makeshift yacht. So that he can just enjoy the yacht and all those things. So of course he can't be on water, but he can what? Enjoy it. She said, of course, it's really expensive. I said, don't tell me, I know. But you know, listen. The girl said that when she was, my wife, she said, I can't believe that at this age, she's 22. I can't believe at this age, you know, I'm buying a house. You know, of course, maybe her money is there small, but her family is giving, you know, basketball layup. They're giving the press triangle. True pass. Please, I assure you, please work hard. Give your children layup, okay? You know those things like, don't look at what your parents have. It's a lie. Look at it. Anywhere help is, collect help. Don't play. Amen? Yes. You go and learn. And you learn the hard way. So, do all those things. But my point is this. I can't look at that girl and feel like, she's just 22. I'm way past 22. I know I don't look it, but I'm way past 22. I've not even bought apartment. She's buying house. How do I feel? You know, when she told me about her family, she's not lying. I said, why are you working here? She said, oh, I just want to make my own money. It's all those people that if they fire them, they don't care. She has nothing to lose. She has nothing to lose. She has nothing to lose. She's a Muslim. She has Abraham's blessing. Maybe that's what people call it. But that's not what that verse means. Abraham's blessing is that the receiving the promise of the Spirit by faith. So faith, being saved by faith in Jesus Christ, receiving the promise of the Spirit as a sign that you are saved. That's Abraham's blessing. She used to travel to Dubai, visit frequent, you know, come back, just have fun. It's very easy to look at someone online. I remember someone met me and said, oh my God, this person has just bought a house. I need to do, I say, this person got married to a UK citizen. They've settled. The boy has been here for a long time. They've relaxed and they bought a house. You've been here 1 year. You're under pressure. Who is pressing your neck? Instagram is holding her neck like this. It's a weight, a gram. You are thinking, I need to do more in my life. But your definition of more is what you saw online. Beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with... You know what the Bible says? Anyways, we're going to look through this verse of scripture. My time is running, but I like how I'm doing with time. Those of you who have been praying for me to use my time well, your prayers have been working. Celebrate Jesus in the house. Okay, you people are not celebrating time, so I should take my time. That's okay. I will go on. No, don't celebrate now. You know what? Let's do a commentary. See, listen. In Matthew 13, Jesus told us about the parable of the sower. There are thorns and there are thistles. He said that the word of God bore very quickly. And because the word bore quickly, please listen to me. Because the word bore quickly, he said thorns and thistles arose. And Jesus explained that he called it the riches of this world came and choked the word of God. And choked the word of God. Listen. There are many people I know who were burning for Jesus until the concerns of this world hit them. And when I say concerns, I mean legitimate concerns. Not illegitimate, legitimate concerns. He hits them. Maybe this is the first time I'll be saying this as church. The Lord told me something. That what he had sent me to the UK to do, I'm not the first person. That he had sent somebody else. The person got choked with work. See, when you see the work culture of the UK, you will understand. It's very easy. Especially on Sunday, you are paid 1.5x. Sometimes 2x. You're like, after all, I'll give an offering. It's very easy to get lost like that. So, especially what I'm saying, let me land on this. You were okay until you started looking at your mates. Please be. I don't know how else to put this. Did I call a verse of scripture? Something I even missed. Another verse, you know, using cloak of covetousness. Genesis 8, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not seed. It cannot cease. Seed in Genesis 8 was not money. Seed in Genesis 8 was actual seed. So he's saying that anybody that plants will reap. That's what he meant. Amen and amen. As we begin to round up, give me 1 Timothy 6:1. Let's do a commentary. Are you ready? Second Corinthians 9. Let's start from verse. Okay, sorry. Give me 1 Timothy 6. Leave it like that. You see, one way to handle covetousness is to have boundaries in your life. I heard the story of someone who, this guy is very wealthy. Doc, please hold. We'll come back. This guy is actually really wealthy. He made up his mind that he's not going to have more than 2 cars at a time. He's not going to have more than 2 cars at a time. Anybody that does not have boundaries in their life will be taken away with money. There's a popular superstar that bought 6 white Rolls Royce cars. Are you omnipresent? Will you be in all of them at the same time? 6. Let me say something that we may not like. It is almost impossible. Let me leave space for doubt. For a believer to be the richest man in the world. Almost impossible. Because you better believe as the money is accumulating, the Lord is telling you. Because God tells you what to do with what?
Money.
He said he will not have more than 2 cars at a time. He will not have more than 2 cars at a time. You must have some boundaries that money is good, but money will not touch this aspect of my life. The aspects like that, family, consecration. Things as little as on Sunday I'm in church. I know it may not be easy for especially people that work in the medical space because of the whole rota thing. But as much as possible for on Sunday, Jesus. Be the kind of person that they say, they don't ask you, what are you doing on Sunday? They know. They say, I don't invite him on Sunday, he's going to church. 1 Timothy 6:1. We're doing a commentary. Are you ready? He said, let as many bond servants as are under your yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may be not blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them, I'm going to teach more on this when I talk on the believer's work ethic. Let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he said he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. He said, from such, do what? Anybody that tells you that godliness is a, or gain is a sign of godliness, the reason you don't have money is because you don't have enough faith. From such, withdraw yourself. If you serve, there's a way you can serve God. Your wealth will be increasing from such. Anything that ties godliness and gain together from such. Again, it's not like God does not prosper and we can't trust him in our needs. That's not it. But anybody that says that this is the surefire, the way to make much is to make Jesus from such. Next verse. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's interesting that this verse is, that is supposed to teach us how to be Godward has been turned to use for something else. So we say godliness with contentment is great gain, meaning that more or less, the way it is put is, the way to get great gain is to be godly. Mm-mm. What he's saying is that in living godly lives, be content with where you are per time. And in doing that, you are having great gain. Next verse. For we brought nothing into this world. See, this is a lens you must have. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. If you have $100 billion in your account, when you breathe your last, you are not spending one dime anymore. Next of kin. Next of kin will shut down. Next of kin, wire. I heard a hype man. You know these reels. He said, I enter the club, I see one guy, they spend money. And I asked the guy, I said, are you the one who owns this money? He said, I'm not the one who owns it. The person will get the money, don't die, and I may be next of kin. See, we brought naked, Ecclesiastes puts it this way, naked we came into this world. Naked we'll go. He said, it is certain, you best believe, there is nothing you are carrying out of here. Next verse. And having food and clothing, with this shall we be content. Again, let me put it this way. Contentment does not mean be mediocre. That's definitely not what it means. But contentment means having the things that are enough to make you be alive. Be happy with it. Next verse. Basically, be excited with where you are per time. Next verse. But those who desire to be rich... Of course, being rich is not a bad thing. And I'll show you another verse. From this, go to verse 17. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The reason why Jesus said it will be hard for a rich man to gain eternal life is not because a rich man cannot be saved. It's because the more your income grows, the more your temptation grows. That's just the simple reason. That's why those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Next verse, 10, which is where he said, for the love of money is the root of all kinds, NKJV gets it well, of all kinds of evil, for which, meaning that all the evils he has spoken about before is the love of money that has to bring it out, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. Look at this. He's saying that the love of money is the root of all evil. It means that even if the evil is in your heart but has not come out, if you love money, money will pull it out. If you love money, you will do things you don't believe or you don't think you could have done. Go to verse 17. Quick. Paul speaking, he said, command those who are rich in this present age. It means that he had no problem with them being wealthy, right? He said, command those who are rich not to be what? Haughty. Not to trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He's saying, let those who are rich not be proudful or trust in their wealth, which is uncertain. But in the living God. Verse 18. We're going to 19. He said, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Paul here is basically saying like Jesus. He said, don't store up your wealth where robbers, moth, and rust can get them, but store up your wealth in heaven. Basically, Paul is saying like Jesus, store up true riches, store up true gold.
store up true riches, store up true good. I wanted to do a commentary of 2 Corinthians 9, but time is fast spent. We'll do that next week or in 2 weeks, one of the two. Store up true gold. Luke 6:22. Is this verse? James 5:1-7. I think I made a mistake in that verse. James 5:1-7. It says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Next verse. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Next verse. Your gold and your silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Next verse. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your heart as in the day of slaughter. What he's saying here, what James is saying, did I say six? What James is basically saying is, if you live your life only as being wealthy here, you will not have true riches. Because the truth is, some people will stand before God and all the wealth they had on earth will be called poverty. Or like Jesus, what Jesus called the rich fool. Some people will stand before God very wealthy and God will call them fool. Come on, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God will call them fool. However, some rich people will stand before God rich, and they were rich both on earth and rich in the hereafter. Durable riches and righteousness. They had unrighteous mammon, and we also had true gold. True riches. This verse 20, this James 5, is the heart of people who have only fattened themselves on this side. Matthew 6:19-21. Doc, play now as we round up. Matthew 6:19-21. Matthew 6:19. Look at Jesus said. He said, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Next verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Jesus is saying, like Paul, don't just store up things on this side. Store up things on the other side of eternity. And as you do, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Maybe I'll continue from this in another sermon. I think something about generosity, one of these sermons. If we print out your bank statement, we can know where your heart is. We can know the things that are important to you. But this is the truth. This is the thing. Don't just store up treasure on this side. A man who is contentment will not give the necessary sacrifices it takes to follow Jesus. A man who is covetous, will not give the necessary sacrifices it takes to follow Jesus. Godliness with contentment is great gain. All right, rise to your feet.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. LCB Herbal Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/LCB Herbal. And for contact details, follow on Instagram at LCB Herbal. God bless you.